that's something that Pastor Fred touched on at the ministry camp, and we've uploaded all the audio, except this one session that had a technical issue, and I figured it out this morning. So this is actually the one I want you guys to listen to, which I'll be referring to, and it's called Calming Your Storm. I'll refer to it in a few minutes, but I touched on a few things, and a while ago, I remember I was convicted about a few things, and then it came up again at the ministry camp, and then it came up again now this week, and every time I was just finding myself repenting. And whenever it's good when that happens, you know, it's a healthy thing. You know, you hear the word, and you realize you're convicted of truth, and then you need to change. I don't know if you find this sometimes when you read good Christian literature, also that happens, obviously, in Scripture. But specifically the one book by John Bevere, I want to really encourage all of you to read. It's called Undercover. And anybody who's going to be a leader has to read it, but it's just blessed for anybody to read. So anyway, I remember the first time I was reading it, basically it felt like every page I had to stop and I had to repent. But it was just amazing what God was doing. But what God was convicting me of has to do with what I'm going to share with us tonight. And let's start with the first scripture. Then we're gonna pray in a moment or two. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. I'm gonna first read out of the New King James, and then we're gonna look at the Amplified. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so let's quickly look at the Amplified, which kind of expounds it a little bit. If you ever wondered why the Amplified is thicker than normal Bibles, this is why. You see the two verses at the top. Now, these are the same verses, just in the Amplified. Okay. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Wow, eh? That's a lot in there. I want to focus on the first bit there, and it's got to do with how we approach God. Like I said, God did touch on God did say something about it, but Fred mentioned it on the camp. And I just felt it's important for us as a body, and specifically for us to make a shift around this. And it's got to do with how we approach God, how we relate to Him, and how we experience Him. Let's quickly pray. And I just trust for just a conviction of truth and just a conviction of what He wants to do in our hearts. Father, we thank you, God, for your word tonight, and we come in the name of Jesus, and we consecrate ourselves to you. We bring our hearts and minds and bodies and all of who we are to you tonight, Lord. And we, as your word says, Lord, we present ourselves as living sacrifices before you. We quieten our hearts and our minds. We take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ, and we declare that this place and this time is holy and consecrated to you for your purpose and for your glory. And we come and we humble ourselves before you, Father. And we declare that our hearts are open and are soft and ready to hear and ready to move when you speak. So we ask, Lord, come and be the King of glory in this place, Lord. Come and be exalted. And we are here to see your kingdom come and your will be done, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And it's an interesting concept. And when one looks at the first one, I'm gonna touch on a few bits that come out of the scripture and a little bit further. But the one of the things we look at is just the kind of a preparation aspect. And if when we look where it says that we present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Okay, firstly, that sounds a bit scary. But if we think of the Old Testament and what it meant, what sacrifice meant, and you know, how they operated, it wasn't just a quick thing. It wasn't just, yes, there's this thing I have to do. Let's just grab the closest lamb or goat or something. And no, it wasn't just a on the whim thing. There was a preparation and they had to select the perfect sacrifice, the one that was as close to perfect as possible. You know, different animals but you know, without blemish, as far as possible, without spot, and not that they have anything about spotty animals, but I mean just, you know, dirt and stuff like that. But so we see this preparation aspect. Interestingly enough, we get this thing in so many other spheres of life. For instance, me, you know, having been in the defense, kind of in the military background, there, you know, we'd spend hours preparing for inspections and things, you know. So you'd sleep, sleep more than I sleep now in the defense force. In any case, I think about it now, it wasn't so bad. Any case, but we'd spend a lot of time preparing and cleaning and polishing and the whole deal. And obviously, the ridiculous thing about that is, you know, if the guy really wants to, he'll find something somewhere. But so we get that thing of preparing yourself because of a certain event or a certain protocol that is required. For locally, for instance, obviously, if you and I were to have the opportunity to meet the Queen, and, you know, if John comes back from the beach in his flip-flops and his swimming trunks, you know, and he goes to meet the Queen, guess what? He's not going to meet the Queen. Okay? They're going to send him home. Tough luck. There's going to be a protocol. There's going to be a dress code. There's going to be all kind of this you do, do's and don'ts. You're going to be briefed beforehand, I'm sure. The ladies will be shown how to greet the Queen, etc. And we understand that, and that's fine for us. You know, you obviously, you know, John, you'll have to wear a tie. And meet the Queen, yeah, and you know, when we get that, and it's fine, and we actually get it right. But it's somehow, funnily enough, when we get to God, sometimes, and it's interesting, especially amongst charismatic churches, often we're so bold because we can boldly come to the throne of grace, which is good and scriptural, but we're so bold that we get familiar, and we get kind of casual, and we kind of just drift into God's presence with our spiritual flip-flops and sand in our hair and just do whatever, you know, just whatever goes. And I just felt, you know, there's a few things that we just need to look at around that in terms of us coming into His presence. And I'm not saying one cannot come boldly, okay? We must come boldly to the throne of grace. But the thing I was convicted about is that there's something lacking in our preparation and our expectation. And a very cool picture that I had was something around a wedding day, and I'm going to share a little bit, but let's quickly read from Ephesians 5. I've skipped over the wives part, but I'm not focusing on this today, so just bear with me. 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. Other translations say glorious bride, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And now, interestingly, they're referring to the same language that was used for the lamb that has to be without spot or wrinkle, without spot or blemish. And we'll look at some more of that a bit later. But now, in a human context, that doesn't work like this. Okay, here in the spiritual context, God prepares His bride for Himself because nobody else is qualified. Okay, so that's blessed. But praise God, in the human context, it doesn't work like that. Okay, the bride has helpers that help her prepare, right? And the groom quickly brushes his teeth before the time and just quickly shaves. No, there's a lot of preparation, even the guys, eh? There's a lot of preparation that happens. But ladies, quickly give me an idea of how long it takes. I've heard 8 hours. Is that significant? That's not long enough. Okay. So, but it's significant, right? Now, just on the side, yeah, have you guys heard about these guys that do the sunrise beach weddings and stuff like that? Have you made the calculations around that in terms of the amount of sleep that person has? Anyway, I think about stuff like this. It doesn't make sense to me. But people have those, hey? They just get up at 2 in the morning and then start preparing for the... Okay, so, but we get that. And I remember my approaching our wedding day. There was, we were focused because there was such a, everything was leading up to this day. And I remember Adam and I had prayed beforehand, so we extended our faithful stuff. We came with an expectation on the day. I think I even polished my shoes the day before already, I was ready and ironing everything, and everything is, has to be perfect. And we had people praying beforehand, praying for the venue. And guys, that was one of the times in my life that I felt the presence of God most tangible. And I believe it's got something to do with that. The fact that I didn't just drift in there on the last minute on a whim and yes, there was this thing I had to do and there was going to be a lady in a white dress. No, there's a preparation, there's months of planning and prayer. And to be honest, I'm gonna confess something before you guys this evening. Sometimes when Adnan I talk, or when Adnan talks specifically, I go, yes, and I make noises and stuff, but my mind is on a different planet. Okay, I don't know, that obviously it doesn't happen to many people, but it but and then she realizes, and then she helps me. And you know what? In human terms, again, we apologize. I'm sorry, and we might get a slap or something, and we'll fix it. But how often does it happen when we come to God? How often in our worship or in prayer does our mind kind of drift off, and you think, I was praying, and now I'm somewhere else, or I was worshiping, but while I'm in church, and then I'm thinking about something I must do this evening, or I must just remember to phone, Skype my mom, or whatever, And in human terms, that would be very rude, right? Drifting off and going on. Somebody jokingly referred to it yesterday. He said he spent some time with Americans. This condition is not limited to Americans, okay? But he spoke to this guy, and every time the guy had long stories to tell, all kinds of things about himself, and then every time my friend wanted to say something about himself, the guy was just looking up from the distance, and it was hilarious. But in any case, but how often are we like that with God? And we're not all together there, if you're with me. But I remember that wedding day, I was there. My mind was not somewhere else. Amen? There were only two things in my mind, my bride and Jesus, because I knew he was going to be there. And we had that expectation. And many people got touched that day because he pitched. And I believe that's something that we're missing. We are so casual with God. We come to church. It becomes a habit. It's something we do. We come to go to small group, or we go in and out of things, and we don't really stop to just have a moment of quiet and a moment of preparation. So that's what we're looking at this morning. And what does that preparation mean? Firstly, there's a cleansing that happens, just as you would, physically have a shower or whatever, have a shave and a shower physically and spiritually. We cannot come to God except by the blood of Jesus. Okay, so that's where the cleansing happens. And, you know, it's not like you have to, every time you pray, open your mouth to speak to God. It's not like you have to say like a little rhyme or something about the blood of Jesus. But it is healthy for us to realize and understand. And I do it often when I pray. So, Lord, I come to you by the blood of your son, Jesus. Because you paid the price. And that's why I can come. That's why I can come boldly. I don't come out of my own, you know, because of anything I've done. I've come only by the mediator that I have in Christ, the high priest. That's how I can come to him. So there's the cleansing that happens through the blood of Christ. And when we, and you know, and practically speaking, for instance, if you're on your way to church, it doesn't mean you have to pray 5 hours in the morning before you come to church or in the evening. 3 hours is more than enough. No, but it's just, but sometimes it's just in the car or on the bus or walking, just to pray, just agreeing with somebody, or just if you're by yourself, just praying, just for a moment, Lord, coming to meet with you. It's holy, it's a consecrated space. It's a covenant moment, and that's what, again, coming back to the wedding day example. That's part of why it's so special, because it's covenant, you know. And when we meet with God, we have covenant moments with God. And I believe we often miss so much of what He wants to do in our lives and through our lives because we're so like distracted. Fred used the word the enemy, devil uses weapons of mass distraction. You know, so our minds all over the place. And specifically with regards to that, we're going to touch on that in a moment. But I want you, if you haven't listened to that, please listen to it. I'll be on the at least one of the websites by this evening. Tomorrow. So there's a preparation that happens, a cleansing that happens. You know, so when you come to Christ, and if there's something that convicts you, just repent. Repent, you know, apply the blood of Christ and boldly come into His presence. And then secondly, there's this thing that, like I said, that often our thoughts is where the real problem is. You know, our thoughts are all over the place, and we're distracted by loads of things. And obviously, when you've got children, it gets worse, and it's job and children and everything happening at once. And that's really a place where we actually need the grace of God just to stop for a moment. To say, God, I take every thought, I just take authority over what's this chaos going on in my mind. And that's what Fred ministers on, the storm within and the storm that we're in and how we actually have authority to speak to that storm. So let's just quickly read from, actually this is just, sorry, just to conclude the first bit, 1 Peter 1. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. But knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, okay, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So He makes that specific point that I want to pull out there. We come to Him boldly. There's that aspect of holy, godly fear, but then there's the place of saying, realizing I come knowing that I'm not redeemed with corruptible things, but I've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And again, the same language there, the lamb without blemish, without spot. And that's why Christ was able to fulfill that role as the perfect sacrifice. The perfect sacrifice without fault, without spot. And He was able to play that, take that place. Okay, so just to look at the next one from 2 Corinthians 10. In terms of how we address the thought patterns and the stuff happening in our minds. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, this is a daily thing, guys. This is not a now and again. 2 Corinthians 10. Yeah. This is a daily, and even, I would say, probably more than once a day, a place where we need to be continuously alert with what's going on in our heads. Okay, the enemy cannot read your mind. Maybe that's good news for somebody tonight. But he can plant thoughts. Okay, Scripture speaks of fiery darts. Like, it's always in my mind, I see these arrows, burning arrows that he launches into our thoughts, into our minds, and trying to get some fire going. Have you seen this in the film and movies? You know, when they shoot those arrows, and they've maybe got some fuel on them or something, it just kind of, the fire just spreads. And that's what happens in your mind, okay? When the thought comes in that's not of you and it's not of God, it's of the enemy, that's the best way, the best time to get hold of it, okay? Scripture speaks about lifting the shield of faith and quenching those darts, right? But they, if it gets more difficult after that, if we don't catch it, then it becomes an argument. Okay, so this thing going on in your head, I don't know if it happens, you know, it just kind of carries on, and we let it go, and then after a while it becomes a stronghold in our minds, and it becomes a high thing, and at that stage there's normally a behavioral pattern connected to that thought impulse. And this is it's not just a spiritual thing, it's a physiological thing, and there's an actual neural pathway that is formed. When we receive certain impulses, then it goes down a neural pathway, and then it results in a specific action or behavioral pattern. Are you with me? They taught us all about this when I was studying industrial psychology, but this makes sense because it's part of the process of renewing of the mind. Renewing of the mind means getting rid of the old neurological patterns and those pathways and rerouting the path. Okay, so when the thought comes in, I take it captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And instead of going into my old way of doing, I need to change that neural pathway and I need to start doing something that glorifies God. Okay, so this is key. When we come to God, it's important for us to bring order in our minds. So that when I present myself to God, that I'm fully there, that I'm present. Amen. In the same way that I want to give all my attention to my wife, in the same way, I want to be 100% there when I'm coming before God. Are you with me? And this is with whether it's in worship or whether it's at church or whether it's in small group. And it's just it's a shift in terms of expectation, but also in terms of, okay, Lord, I'm coming. I know I can boldly come to you. I know you call us friends when we do, when we do your commandments. I know, you love us, and it's an intimate relationship, but it's not a familiar one. You're still the sovereign king of the universe. I still fear for my life because he's glorious. It's the whole glory thing that we don't get sometimes. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, you and I will die when we come near to God or any part of his presence or any, obviously, Scripture says we won't see him before we're glorified. It's not like God doesn't like us or anything. It's because he's glorious and he's holy. And when we, in our sinful nature, that can't mix. It's the whole moth and flame thing. The flame is not angry with the moth, or it's not, there's nothing against the moth. But if the moth comes too close and it doesn't respect the nature of the flame, it's going to die. And it's not like the flame is doing anything. That the moth has to respect the nature of the flame. Are you with me? And the same way, we need to understand that the only way we can approach him is through the blood of Jesus. And then we can boldly come, but are we not familiar? Amen? Okay, so there's a cleansing that happens. There's a calming of the storm that happens in our minds. There's taking captive the thoughts. And there's a consecration that happens. Now, consecration is an interesting concept, but it speaks of something like Scripture speaks of vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. It speaks of actual containers used for carrying honorable things like gold and whatever, silver, whatever, And then it's used also for dishonest, so you know, yucky stuff and gross stuff. Okay. In the same way, we as vessels can either be vessels of honor of the Holy Spirit, of His grace and His love and His, you know, His power, or we can be contaminated with stuff from the world and stuff that we expose ourselves to, stuff that we allow to enter in, you know, whether it be through what we read or watch or whatever we expose ourselves to. So there's a consecration that needs to happen for us to be vessels of honor. And when you look at that picture of Moses, when God calls Moses in the wilderness and there's a burning bush, you remember what happened? He firstly, obviously, it's a bit of a scary moment. This bush is burning, and then there's a voice, and then he approaches the bush. And then God says to Moses, stop, take off your shoes, because this is holy ground. And similarly, that's the same kind of thing we need to do when we come to God. It's just to stop, to pause, and to say, Lord, thank you that I can come boldly. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses me. I just take every thought captive, and I come to you, and I'm clear. I want to meet with you. I'm coming in faith. I'm not drifting in and out of your presence. I'm not casual about it. I'm coming. I want to meet with you. Are you with me? So whether it is a church or small group or intercession or even socially when we come together, we pray for food or whatever we're doing together, it's so powerful to have that aspect of expectation and preparation. And God honors that. Okay. I just want to quickly look at something that has to do with this, and that is something Fred also referred to on the camp, and he referred to, remember he took that old five-pound note. Does anybody have one nearby? John, there we go. There we go. John's got cash. Thanks, brother. It's for my birthday. Thanks, man. So, this is quite an old one. And if you weren't there, Fred basically... No, it's good. I wanted one old one. So, it doesn't smell good. It's money. It's nothing to do. It's money. This is good for my example, John. So, what Fred said is he said, you and I don't know where this has been. Right? It's filthy. It's money, and on the whole, is quite dirty. It's old. It doesn't have its feel. It lost some of its feel already. It's been around a couple of years. And we don't know what it's been doing. We don't know where it's been. Sorry, John. But we don't know what it's been paid for. Hey? We don't know if it's been in a drug deal or it's been used to pay for, prostitution. So the point he was making, and he was making it in the broader sense in terms of the gift that we bring to God, whatever it is. But he was saying that whatever we bring to God, whether it is our time or our talents or whichever way we bring a gift to God, or whether it is finance, is it needs to be consecrated. It needs to be consecrated to God so that it can be cleansed and so that it can be to the glory of His name. Okay, and even the gift that we bring, whether it is our talents or our whatever, it also needs to be consecrated. Amen. And I want to encourage us. It's something. It's one of those things. Thanks. It's one of the things that it doesn't just apply with. It applies across the board, you know, with things that we bring. And I want to encourage us that when we bring our tithes and offerings, you will see the envelopes lying around. If you want to use them, do please do. But so often it becomes like just a ritual. It's just a thing that we do, and sometimes we put stuff in the basket, and sometimes when most of us do direct debits these days. And actually, a while ago, I stopped doing direct debits because I wanted to make it an action. I wanted to make it a faith act. And I just want to encourage us with that. And specifically, I felt specifically around our tithes and offerings. And I want to bless you guys for being generous and having, you know, we've never had issues. But that there's a consecration, okay? And I just want to quickly read something around that before we continue. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. And this is not only, like I said, not only in terms of finances, but whatever gift we bring. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. And the specific thing on my heart was here is that what he purposes in his heart. So this speaks of something that has been, as somebody's thought about it. I mean, it's not, oh geez, let me just check, might have a coin here somewhere. But it's a place of, okay, Lord, I've prayed about it, or we as a family has prayed, and we want to bless, we want to put this offering in. Tithes, obviously, you know, even they sometimes are like a more regular thing, but I want to really encourage us, don't just make it something that just happens. Make sure there's a faith aspect. Make sure it's a, like, thank you, Lord, that we can come together as a family, and we decide we're going to, that's why it's actually good to often use the envelopes. So this is what we want to give. We're preparing it, we're bringing it, we're putting it in, and we're saying, here we go, Lord, we bless you. Or whether it is you blessing somebody else, but make it something that you pray about, something that you ask God about, something that you consecrate to him. And I want to encourage you, this is homework, to take a moment and pray about that this evening. And ask God, would he have you bless somebody, or would he have you bring an offering, or just ask him. And if it's really tough this month and it's really tight, then I want to challenge you even more. Trust God to sow out of that place. We've experienced the months that is actually ridiculously crazy financially, or often the months that we feel, okay, we need to sow. You know, and then it hurts sometimes in the short run. But you can't get out give God, guys. Let me just testify of that. If you can try, I want to dare you to try, but you cannot outgive him. You know what I mean? In other words, the more you give, you will receive. And that's, I've experienced. Once I tried to take God on that, and it, you just can't stay ahead. But, okay, so there's a purposeful thing around it, and whether it is our coming and worshiping in the band, or whether it is, you know, serving in the band or serving in another capacity, there's a consecration that happens, there's a preparation that happens, and it's an act of faith. And I remember the other night, just as also another example, when I was praying around this, just as we close, is whether it is our coming to God or whether it is our bringing a gift to God, that preparation and that pause and that bringing order and that kind of consecration makes it into an act of faith rather than just something I just happen to be doing, going with the flow. And the other night, Abigail, I heard her speaking in her sleep. And then I heard she's actually upset, and I went to check on her, and because I thought maybe she's awake, and she was almost crying, you know. And I thought, okay, well, obviously she's having some kind of a nightmare or something, but I could see she's sleeping. So I left her, but I said, this is not on. So right there, I took authority, I prayed, I said, I won't have this. Whatever is bugging her, if it's a spiritual thing, I'll stop it right there. And I just realized this is that kind of thing. When we're in a war situation, okay, like we heard, when we're in a battle, in a war, there's lots of stuff, obviously, in a battle situation that have to be almost automatic. You have to be trained. But you cannot be complacent. You cannot just drift in and out. It's very decisive. Are you with me? So in the same time, I could have just thought, oh, whatever. But I was decisive, and I addressed situation. And the same time, so that is what walking by faith means. It's being decisive. It means being deliberate about life. Amen. So whether it is me coming to God, it's not just Lord, just bless this day. It's going to be, you know, just give me grace. No, it's, Lord, I'm deliberate. Today, let your kingdom come. Today, I want to take hold of every divine appointment that you have prepared. Every soul that must be changed today. You know, don't want to miss one part. Don't want to miss one thing. So let's stand this evening. We're going to pray for one another. I'm just going to pray prayers of consecration. And I want to encourage us at this time, guys. We're going through a shift in this congregation. I don't know if you've noticed. But there's a shift happening. God is doing something, and we need to be alert. Okay, we cannot be complacent. He's not confused about his body in this city, his mandate for this city. He's not confused about his plan. Amen. He's not confused about the souls that are going to be saved and discipled. He's not confused about the tools he has given us to do that. So this is the season for us to be alert and to be prepared. And whether it is, like I said, whatever you're doing, come with a consecrated heart. Come prepared. Come in faith. So what are we doing tonight? And are we gonna? If you need to repent, like I had to the last couple of weeks, a lot. even in Weybridge, we have a challenge there because literally half the church on a Sunday morning is younger than 8. Okay, I'm not exaggerating. There are lots of them. And they're getting more, okay. If they pull a mutiny, we'll be in trouble, okay. They'll be almost in the majority. When the Essers come, they're in the majority. Because they just throw the balance out. They've got 6 children. In any case, so it's a challenge. Because how do you teach those kids that are, most of them are, what, between 0 and 5? How do you know that most of them are not at an age where they understand what worship means? You know, how do you explain to a child like that what this is a consecrated space? If you want to run in the foyer. If you want to play, but this is a place we worship God. It's tricky, and we're going to have the same problem similarly here in a while as we grow. But I want to encourage us. This is something we need to think about. You know, how do we explain to our children? Yes, there's time. We're going to stand in front. We're doing the children's song, and we have a lot of fun, and that's great. And we have fun in the presence of God. But then there's also a time where we don't run around, we don't chase one another. And you think it gets busy? Yeah, I can tell you that side. It's rough sometimes. So it's something we have to wrestle with, because in the same way that we prepare the service physically, we also prepare spiritually. And we need to somehow, I'm trying to get across to Abby. She's getting a few things already. The other day I heard her singing all by herself. She was saying, thank you, Jesus. But in Afrikaans, okay. But it's cool. Obviously she's copying us, and she understands the concept of thank you. So that's amazing, you know. But we pray, one friend's grandfather's got cancer. So we pray for him every night. We're trusting for healing, you know. So we're walking the road with the little ones. But I just want to encourage us that we need to just be aware about the things of God and the precious things and the holy things and the consecrated things, okay? Amen. So let's, I'm going to do in groups of 2 or 3. There's some oil here. So we're going to do this properly. If you need to repent like I had to, please do that. If you're comfortable, if you want to get the guys from next door, then they can join us.